You're in a tough spot when you expect a lot from something. Example A, Christmas. It can leave you with a sour taste in your mouth, like you're missing out on what it's all about. Or it's the knockout blow at the end of a brutal year. For Christmas, the three words we expect to hear at the bedside of every newborn boy becomes less of a statement and more of a story. A story that expects peace. A story that's about starting fresh. A story expecting life can be beautiful. Expecting beauty in the world around us. Expecting wonder and light. Expecting joy and fulfillment as we work and as we play. Expecting a story that includes us, our hopes and dreams, victories and disruptions, rulers and kings. At Christmas, we can expect a resounding yes that life is like that. At Christmas, you can expect that it's ready to start. This Christmas, try it. Expect to discover gifts from God.
You ever had one of those moments where everything seems to change? When everything you've ever known, everything you've ever experienced somehow doesn't seem to matter anymore. When change comes in a way that's not gentle, but feels like it's smashed through your front door and rearranged your furniture and messed up your whole life. It happened to me about a year ago. I was happy. Life was normal and simple, which is good because I don't like complications. Everything was planned out. Work was busy enough. There was always something to do. I had a good bunch of friends. We'd grown up together. We knew everything about each other. There were no secrets. We laughed. We celebrated. We did life together. I'd recently got engaged to marry this crazy, wild young woman. She wasn't your normal bride-to-be. She had this glint in her eye. She was looking for an adventure. Our marriage had been arranged, of course. That's what happens. I knew her family. We'd grown up together. And there was always just something different about her. She always asked lots of questions. She never just took an easy answer. She always wanted more. She was never satisfied with just being normal. I loved her for that. It was a time of great joy as we made preparations for the wedding and we planned our life together. But then there was that moment. I remember it so clearly. This wild child of a woman was suddenly burdened and excited all at the same time. She took me out to our favourite spot under the big tree and she told me her story. Pregnant. Seriously? I was so hurt. she really was wild. The shame and the dishonor she brought on herself and on me was overwhelming. I was respected in our community, and this was just a disgrace. And then she made it worse. She told me this was God's plan. That she'd been visited by an angel who told her that what she'd be doing was having God's baby. And somehow God was going to fix the whole world through this child. I asked her, "What did you say to this angel?" She said she asked lots of questions. Of course she did. "How can that be?" she said. That's what I asked him. "How can that be?" And there was this sense of defiance even in the way she said that. It was just preposterous. No one in their right mind is going to believe that story. I didn't. And that day I walked away speechless. I didn't know what to say. I just needed some time to think. I actually really didn't even have a choice. There's only one thing I could do. I'd have to divorce her. I'd end it before it started. I did love her and respect her, though, so I wasn't going to make any more of a fuss about it than was necessary. I thought maybe if I just did it quietly, she might still have a chance of some sort of life. She would be shunned in our community. It's what happened to unmarried mothers. There'd be rumours, there'd be innuendo. But I couldn't be married to someone who'd been unfaithful. Especially someone who'd been unfaithful before we were even husband and wife. So I made up my mind. I'd visit Mary and her family, and I'd tell them my decision. And I went to bed that night with such a swirling mix of emotions. I was hurt, and I was confused, and I was angry. Didn't sleep at all. I actually don't know if I was awake or asleep, but in the middle of the night, an angel appeared in my room. Yep. An angel. And I can't even now describe what it was like. He was enormous and small all at the same time. He stood by my bed, but somehow filled the whole room. There was this weight of presence that I could physically feel. And I was terrified. And then the words he said, I still remember them. They're like etched into my brain. "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." What do you do with that? I guess it was God. And I can't even begin to explain how my head spun with mixed feelings and thoughts, doubts. Was I going crazy? How would I explain this? I know what people were going to say. We're going to be that couple. People would look at us with knowing, judgmental looks. They'd nod politely as we passed them, but they would know. And I remember going to Mary's house the next day, and she was sitting nervously outside. As I approached, she stood and she walked over to me, and she just looked me in the eye with this piercing gaze, not saying a word, just waiting for me to speak, knowing that there's a decision coming. And I took a breath and I sort of half smiled and I said, "Tell me again about that angel." And she half smiled back and told the story all again. And it was obvious that she was convinced, far more convinced than I was. She told me that she said to the angel, "Let it be as you say." And then she paused, and there was this weight in the air as she looked at me, just waiting for me to say something. I took this deep breath and I said, "I've had a visit too. I have no idea how we're going to do this. I have no idea how I fit into this plan. I have no idea how I can be a father to the Son of God. But we'll do it together." We cried, we laughed, we just sat there. We sat in ages, in silence. It was this holy moment. We were married a couple of months later, and then we heard there would be a census. The emperor wanted a head count. Probably wanted more taxes or something. So we had to travel. We had to make this 10-day journey to Bethlehem. It's where my family comes from. It's where her family comes from too, actually. And we were required to be there. But the timing was awful. Really tricky. We had to travel when her pregnancy was well advanced. So we're here. The town's packed. There's no room at any guest house. People are camping in fields and under any shelter they can find. The nights are cold and dark, and we managed to find a little bit of shelter here in the place where animals sleep. I can't quite imagine that this is God's plan. His son born here. I mean, Mary's in there now by herself. And I'm out here listening to the pain and the screams. She doesn't want me in there. It's not appropriate for me to be there, she says. And I know that our culture says I shouldn't be there helping, but I feel so helpless. Nothing about this has followed the rules, so why should we now? But she insisted, and she is formidable. So it's me, out here by myself, hoping somehow that God's got it all under control. But God's here too. Right here in the middle of the mess somehow, in the middle of the questions, in the middle of the world that never feels ready. Maybe that's the point. Maybe God doesn't wait until everything is tidy. Maybe God doesn't look for the perfect moment or the perfect place or the perfect people. Maybe he arrives right in the middle of the chaos we are trying our best to manage. The disappointment we don't talk about, the fear we hide, the dreams interrupted, the plans that fell apart somewhere along the road to Bethlehem. I guess if he can be born in my disrupted life, he can be born in anyone's. Because this Messiah, it seems, doesn't wait for the world to be ready. He comes to make it new. Maybe he does know what he's doing. That's right, God, isn't it? You do know what you're doing. I mean, this isn't the way I planned it, God. No way did I plan this. My child being born in a stable? This isn't the way I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys and hay and straw. My wife giving birth with only the stars to hear her pain. This isn't what I imagined. I imagined family. I imagined grandmothers. I imagined neighbours clustered outside the door and friends standing at my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant. Slaps on the back, loud laughter, jubilation. That's how I thought it would be. The midwife would hand me my child and all the people would applaud and Mary would rest and we would celebrate. The whole of Nazareth would celebrate with us. But now look, Nazareth's 10 days journey away. And here we are in a sheep pasture. Who's going to celebrate with us? Sheep? Shepherds? Stars? This just doesn't seem right. What kind of husband am I? I provide no midwife to aid my wife, no bed to rest her back. Her pillow is a blanket from my donkey. The house for her is a shed of hay and straw. The smell is bad. The animals are loud. I even stink like a shepherd myself. Did I miss something, God? Did I? When you sent an angel and you spoke of the Son being born, this isn't what I pictured. I envisaged Jerusalem, the temple, the priests, all the people gathered. A pageant, perhaps, a parade, a banquet at least. I mean, this is the Messiah, this is the King. Or if not born in Jerusalem, how about at least Nazareth? Wouldn't Nazareth have been better, God? At least I'd have my house and my business. Out here, what do I have? A weary mule, a stack of firewood, and a pot of warm water. That's not the way I wanted it to be. It's not the way I wanted my son. I did it again, didn't I? I'm sorry, God. I didn't mean to do that. It's just so hard and I just forget. He's not my son, is he? He's yours. The child is yours. The plan is yours. The idea is yours. But forgive me for asking, God, but is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel, weird as it is, I've accepted. The questions people ask about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Bethlehem, fine. But why a birth in a stable, God? Any minute now, Mary's going to give birth, not to a child, but to the Messiah, not to an infant, but to God. That's what the angel said. That's what Mary believes. And God, it's what I want to believe too. Surely you can understand, it's just not easy. It seems so bizarre. I'm unaccustomed to strangeness, God. I don't do bizarre. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not the friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But this time I'm not the builder, am I, God? This time I'm just an instrument. A hammer in your grip, a nail between your fingers, a chisel in your hands. This project is your project, not mine. I guess it's foolish of me to question you. Forgive my struggling, God. Trust doesn't come easy to me. Then again, you never said it would be easy, did you? One final thing, Father. That angel you sent? Any chance you could send another? If not an angel, maybe a person, I don't know. I don't know anyone around here. Some company would be nice. Maybe the innkeeper or traveller. Even a shepherd would do. What's that? Did you hear that? That sounds like a baby crying. I think I better go.